Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors. I love what Tony just did with the emoji phraseology. And so today we continue our series in emoji malfunction. I'm assuming probably most of you use emojis. I use them, you know, sometimes when I'm texting people or emailing or whatever. And they're just kind of fun. It's just a way of sending a little bit more in that message. So I was thinking about this as we think about how we communicate with people, and especially through emojis. Like, if you were going to tell somebody that you are a person of faith, that you have a relationship with God, what kind of emoji would you send? And, I was thinking through this, and I was like, wow, that there's a lot of them. As you know, there's over 3,000 emojis, and there's a lot of religious ones. Like, would you send a cross? Or would you send a person praying? I think I saw one with a person with their hands lifted up. Would you send a picture of Jesus? Lots of pictures of Jesus out there, right? Maybe the picture of Jesus, like, you know, got the big smile and the thumbs up. How about a picture of I saw one that was a smiling person and they had a big halo over their head. I don't think I'd go for that one. I don't, you know, whatever. But maybe that. Maybe just a picture of a church saying, you know, I go to church or whatever. There's lots of different messages that you could send. However, whatever emoji you would send, here's a question that I want to ask you. Would you send that kind of a message to somebody who doesn't have faith to let them know that you do have faith, that you are a person of faith, that you have a relationship with Jesus? So here is a very, very important question, and that is church people, sometimes they think, well, I don't know if I would do that. And I say church people because people of faith, people that, you know, say, I'm a Christian, and they say, I don't know that I would ever do something like that because, I mean, that's private. You know, religion, faith, spiritual things, that's a private thing. And here's what I want you to know. If you think that, that's super, super unfortunate because it's very unbiblical. The reason that I have the gospel today, the reason I know God, the reason that you know God, is because some people said it's important enough to talk about. Is it important enough where we've got to get that message out? So if you are a Christ follower today, chances are that you are a Christ follower because somebody told you. Somebody shared it with you somewhere along the way. It might have been your parents, or it could have been, you know, a good friend, or in some time and place. Somebody communicated the gospel to you, and that's why you are a follower today. So I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. This is in the NLT translation. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ." Some translations say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Gospel and good news mean the same thing. He says, "Because it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes." What an amazing message to think that God is accessible and available to everybody, and it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, look, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Okay, why? Because he said it dramatically changed his life. Paul would never, ever be the same again. And he believed that if it had the power to change his life, then it had the power to change other people's lives as well. Now, Paul paid a serious price for sharing the gospel. I mean, this is a guy that was chased out of towns. He was flogged, you know, beaten. He was stoned, and not like in a PB kind of way, but I'm talking about like people pelting him with stones, almost died. He was spit on. I mean, everything you could think of happened to Paul. He was lifted over walls to get him out of cities where people were trying to kill him. And he did all this in the name of trying to share the gospel. He goes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and I'm willing to pay a price for it. He thought it was that important. When I think about the price that I paid, I'm almost kind of embarrassed when I think about it. You know, I mean, I've been a Christ follower most of my life. And there's been some people that made fun of me a couple of times. And there's some people that rejected me because, I was a person of faith. But overall, when I think of what the price that some people are paying in the world today, in some countries and some places where their life is literally on the line, and their family, or they're not being accepted. I mean, it's they're being ostracized because of their faith. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. So here's what I know. Jesus has changed and continues to change my life, okay? In fact, Jesus is the single most important thing in my life. The single greatest factor in my life is my relationship with Jesus. And I hope he is for you too. So here's the thing. Why would I not want to share the most important thing in my life with other people, with anybody that I care about? I mean, if I really think that it's the most important thing in my life, why would I not share that? When people say their faith is important, but they don't share it, it just kind of makes me wonder, is their faith really that important to them? In Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14, again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. This is what he says. He says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That means everyone, doesn't matter who, everybody that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's amazing news. And then he says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And I want you to just focus on this last sentence here. He says, and how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Unless somebody tells them. I have heard people quote this to me before, very famous saying by St. Francis of Assisi, who said, preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words, right? Sounds beautiful, but the Apostle Paul is saying, you got to use words, right? I have a friend that one time thought that he would try the St. Francis of Assisi method, and so he tried to live perfectly in front of some people that he worked with. And one day, one of them came over to him and said, I've noticed something about you. And of course, he was thinking, this is it. This is my moment. And the person said, are you a vegetarian? So here's the thing. I think it's cool to be a vegetarian. One of my sons is a vegetarian, but it's not going to change your life. It might give you better health, but it's not going to change your life. And so we literally have to say it. We have to share our faith with other people. And I think part of maybe the reason some people don't share their faith is because they think everybody's already heard it. I mean, they reasonably go, well, you know, this is America. This is a Christian nation. And, Bibles are all over the place. Churches are all over the place. Everybody's heard about the gospel. So, you know, it's like, I don't know if I actually need to do that. And if you think that would be a very inaccurate way of thinking. Because I can tell you from my personal experience, there are a lot of people in this country who have never heard a presentation of the gospel. They've heard little bits and pieces, maybe, you know, they've heard things on TV or maybe from churches, but they've never pieced it together. Like, there's nobody in their life who has actually brought an adequate presentation of the gospel for them to really know what that is all about. Now, here's one of the things that really concerns me. So, Barna Research Institute, they're a group, and they check out all things religious and trends that are going on in churches and where people are faith-wise. And so recently they said this is based on their research, they said only 6% of Americans have a biblical worldview. Wow, that is disturbing. 6%. So this is not Christian America anymore. This is post-Christian America. And when you and I realize that, then we will literally become missionaries to a country that is not a Christian country anymore. That means that we need to start sharing our faith. And so that begs the question, well, who should I share my faith with? And I would say, first and foremost, share it with people that you love. I mean, if your dad doesn't know Jesus, hey, share it with your dad. If your kids don't, if your best friend doesn't, if the people that in your life, you say, I care about these people. Share it with people with you love, and share it when opportunity presents itself. I'm so glad that people cared enough about me to share the message with me. Who should I share it with? Share it with people that you love. I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm so thankful for my parents that they raised me up that way. When I was about 50 or 16 years old, I decided to just bail out of my faith. And there was a lot of reasons for that, but I just did. And I became what I would call a fake agnostic. And so, I wanted to have a reason for bailing out. So I just, agnostic means you don't know if there's a God or not. So I'm like, I kind of use that. And I say fake because I knew there was a God, because I had a very, very strong relationship with Jesus when I was a kid, all the way up until I decided that I wasn't going to do that. And so I did that for a few years. And when I was 19 years old, I decided, as I began to look to the future, that things didn't feel good. I started experiencing kind of a crisis of faith. I felt super empty inside, and I just didn't know what was going on. But I was like, I'm out. I was, kind of on the whole party thing and, hanging out with my friends, and, life was just to be experienced and explored, and we were, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And amidst all of that, I was just empty. And so I remember, as I was experiencing that, I went back to see a friend of mine who had actually been my best friend. And when I turned 16, he continued with faith, and so it made it really kind of uncomfortable to be around him. And so I just didn't hang out with him anymore. But here I was about 3 or so years later, and I come back to my best friend Sammy, and I said, hey, let's hang out. So I remember this one afternoon, we're playing pool, and he just, after a while, talking to me about, what was going on, I realized he was super happy. I mean, it was killing me, because I was doing everything in the world I could think of to make myself happy, and I was just getting more miserable. And so I'm looking at him, and I think, man, this guy loves Jesus, and he's just so happy, and I want some of that. So as we're talking, he just said to me, Steve, where are you? Where are you with Jesus? He didn't have to say very much. And you know what? His words just penetrated my heart, and I thought about it. And that Sunday, I went to church, and I recommitted my life to Jesus. And it was such an incredible experience, and has been ever since. Like, there's not one day in my life that has gone by that I regretted that decision. There's not one day that went by when I thought, I wish I'd waited a little bit longer before I made that decision. No, every single day I'm thankful. Now, has my life been perfect? No. Have I had hard days? Yes. Have I had even seasons in my life that were difficult? Yes. All the more reason that it's been great to have God with me. He's been there every step of the way. At times I feel like he's literally carried me. Now, did you see what I just did? I just told you my God story. And I did it in about 2 minutes, okay? And so I want you to know this. People tell me all the time, they say, Steve, I would share my faith, but I'm kind of afraid because I really don't know the Bible that well, and I, I'm afraid they're going to ask me a question and I don't know how to answer that question. I don't have the answer for that question, and so all you need to do is tell them your God story. Like, that's your story. Nobody is going to dispute your story, and it's probably the most powerful tool you have, especially if you don't know a lot about the Bible and you're kind of new to faith. You say, well, I'm not sure, I don't have all the answers, but here's what I can tell you, and here's what I know that God has done in my life. So, so powerful. So what I want to do is I want to put some tools in your toolbox of how to share your faith today, okay? We're going to talk about 4 things that will really help you to be effective in sharing your faith. And the first one is that we need to be respectful when we share our faith with other people. Actually, the Apostle Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. He says it this way. He says, if someone asks about your faith as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. One time, several years ago, my wife and I went to see the Padres play. And we went with this couple that we didn't know very well. We knew them through our kids, so our kids hung out together. Our kids were teenagers at the time. And so we had just sat down, and I just was still kind of getting to know this guy, and I took a bite out of my hot dog, and as soon as I did that, he turned around to me, and this guy had a Jewish background, and he just said point blank, he said, "Steve, why are you a Christian?" And I thought I was going to choke on my hot dog. It just hit me just like that. I'm like, wow. So I could have, but I didn't. Thank goodness. I did. I could have pulled the old pastor card out, you know, like, well, you asked the right guy, you know. I am the Bible answer man. Thank you for asking. But no, I didn't do that. In fact, I just tried to be as down to earth and as humble as I could in answering his question. And so here's the thing. Don't feel like you always have to have an answer, but do have an explanation. Have an explanation for your faith. You're not probably always going to have the answers that people would ask you about certain things. I know in my life, even today, like I don't know everything. And so sometimes people come to me and they ask me very, very difficult questions about faith or about the Bible. And if I don't know the answer, I just say, you know what? Let's like explore this together. Let's research this together. And this is a beautiful opportunity for you and somebody that you're sharing God with to really go a little bit deeper in your search for that particular answer. Here's another thing. Don't ever judge or moralize if you're trying to share your faith with people. That's the worst thing you could do. I know sometimes it's easy because it's like, you know, you got this friend and your friend is super messy and you're thinking, you know, if this person had a relationship with God, it would change everything. And so you go to that person and you're going, hey, and you start to moralize, which is the worst thing you could ever do. It's like behavior modification is not the point of Christianity. It is radical life change. It's a relationship with God. And you can't confuse the two, because the minute you begin to like, you know, get like, well, I'm telling you right now, you know, he's going to like, you need to change. Forget it. You lost him. Here, my approach is, and it's the biblical approach, just bring him to God. Bring him to Jesus. You are not the one to judge them anyway. You are not the one to change their behavior. I don't care what choices they've made. I don't care if you completely disagree with their lifestyle or any of those kind of things. What you and I get to do, and I do this all the time, is just bring them to Jesus, and that, you know, he's the one that will take care of the rest of it. That responsibility is not on you. And isn't that a relief that you're not the one that has to change their behavior, right? That God gets to do that. So the first thing is be respectful. Secondly, and this is so, so important, you got to just be yourself. You know, you heard the expression, you do you. Okay, just be yourself. When I started getting serious about sharing my faith, so I'm 19 years old, and I go, okay, I'm all in. And I want to start to share my faith with people. And so I began to read all these books on how to share your faith. And there was a pretty consistent theme through them. I noticed that these books were all written by extroverts. You could just tell all the stories that were about, you know, how they shared their faith and where and all the people that came to know God through them. I'm like, wow. And so I thought, well, okay, I guess this is how you do it. And so here's the problem. I'm not an extrovert. I'm actually kind of an introvert. Occupationally, obviously, you know, you're looking at me right now and you go, well, you seem kind of like an extrovert, but I'm not. And so internally, true to my personality, I'm a little bit more introverted. But so this made it a real problem with me. So I remember it would go something like this. I have an opportunity. I'm going to share my faith. Everything is going great. And then suddenly there's that moment where I'm thinking, okay, we're going to share our faith. And oh, my voice would get real shaky. I would get real awkward, and then I would start to use words and express myself in language that was kind of foreign to me, but I'd read it in the book, you know, and so I began to talk that way, and suddenly, not only was it awkward for me, it was awkward for them, and why? Because Steve Mbachi was not being true to myself. I wasn't sure in a real, real natural way, and so, yeah, it's so, so important for you to be true to yourself. I have a friend who, I think it was about 15 years ago, he wrote a book about how to share your faith as an introvert. Now, he's an introverted guy. And so he wrote this book, and he came to our church, and he talked about that. And at one point, he said, I want everybody to raise their hand who, if you consider yourself to be an introvert, and over half the church, more than half the church, raised their hand. And remember, afterwards, we were having lunch together, and I said, hey, man, I was kind of blown away by how many people raised their hand. And said they were introverts. And he said, Steve, it's pretty common. Almost most churches I go to, I see that. And so here's the good news. The good news is that even if you are an introverted person, you can still share your faith. It just won't look like the extroverted person, right? Like when I think of that, I think of Elizabeth. I was on staff with Elizabeth at a church in Fallbrook when years ago I was a youth pastor. And she had this amazing gift to be able to share the gospel. She was formerly a missionary to Australia, and she had that beautiful Australian accent, and she had this huge disarming smile, and I watched her come up to people over and over. Like I was with her sometimes, and she'd come up to somebody, and in like 2 or 3 minutes, she'd already be talking to them about Jesus, and she personally led every year at least 100 people or more to Jesus just because of that extroverted personality she had and just knowing how to do that. Now, if Steve Bombacci had tried to do that, not quite the same, because that's just not my personality. So the next thing we need to put in our toolbox is to discover and develop your sharing style. Okay, you have to discover, like, how does that work for me? Who am I? And then what is my actual sharing style? I discovered a long time ago that I share best through relationships. I'm not one of these guys that can, in 3 minutes, you know, be sharing Jesus with somebody unless they ask me about it. But if I get to know somebody, I feel like, you know, if I'm hanging out with them, if I'm surfing with them, you know, just whatever, I feel like now I've earned the right, and this is just me, I'm not speaking for you, I'm speaking for me, now I've kind of earned the right to be heard. This person knows that, you know, I'm legit, I'm not just some kook talking here, and so I feel comfortable to be able to share my faith with them. Now that's me. In fact, if I had an emoji that would describe me and the way I share faith, it would be me on the beach with somebody else with a Bible. And I just would be having this conversation. That's the best. That's just, it really would exemplify how I share best. But I wanted to share with you some styles that you might relate to, because there's all kinds of sharing your faith styles. The first guy that comes to mind in the Bible is Peter. Now, Peter had a huge personality. If you were to do a personality profile on him, extreme extrovert, kind of in your face a little bit. You might remember on the day of Pentecost, he's the guy that stands up and says, y'all killed God, you know? You killed the Messiah. And they're like back on their heels. But he preaches this amazing message and thousands of people come to know God through that. Now, if you have that kind of personality, go with it. It's a great, great tool that you have. One of the other, like if Matthew, one of his other apostles had tried that, one of his other disciples, probably, you know, he was like more like a CPA, kind of a quiet guy, probably not going to work. So you have to go with who you are. Here's another style, which is the inviting style. So Andrew was one of the disciples of Jesus, and Andrew was always bringing people to Jesus. Say, hey, I want you to meet Jesus. There's a woman in the Bible, her name is Lydia. You find her in the book of Acts. She was always inviting people to come and hear Paul, who would talk about Jesus. So the inviting style is an amazing style of just saying, hey, I want to invite you to come to church, or maybe come to a life group, or come where there's going to be some conversations about faith. Then there is Paul. Of course, the Apostle Paul, very unique individual, a very high intellect, very educated. And so he has the intellectual approach to sharing the faith. And he is very comfortable with scholars, wherever he was, and maybe that's you. Maybe you have a lot of education. You know, you're pretty smart. You like to mix it up with people. You like to talk about ideas, maybe a little philosophy or whatever. If that's your style, go with it. It's a beautiful style to have, and just look for those opportunities. Another guy is Barnabas, and you find him in the Bible. And so Barnabas, his name actually means son of encouragement, and he was always encouraging people. And because of that, it opened up people's hearts to know God. And maybe you're a great encourager. And so everywhere you go, just use that gift to open up people's hearts to know God. What about Doubting Thomas? You're thinking, there can't be any upside to Doubting Thomas. But there actually was. Doubting Thomas was a guy who was always looking for answers to questions. And when he found them, he was in a position to help other people. And maybe that's you. Like, you're always asking questions. You're just very inquisitive. And so as you are learning and growing and developing, you're able to come alongside people that are just like you and say, hey, you know what? I totally get where you're coming from. I'm just like you, and I think I've got some answers. That's a way that you can help them. And then finally, Martha and Mary. And you might say, well, what do they bring to the table? Actually, food. They were great inviters. You know, Martha and Mary, every time you turn around, Jesus is coming to their house or other people, and they just have this amazing gift of hospitality. And I think some of the greatest faith conversations that will ever take place happen around food. And so if you have that amazing gift, use that. And somewhere along the line, there's going to be an opportunity to share your faith. Finally, let's put this one in your toolbox. So we said, be respectful, be yourself, and then develop your own sharing style. Finally, trust the power of the gospel. Trust the power of the gospel. The reason Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, is because he saw the amazing results of the gospel. And this is what I've learned in my life. You never, ever have to apologize for the gospel. I know that people are going, that's an old book, and you know it's thousands of years old, and how does it relate to us today in 2022? But you need to let them know that this is a relevant book and that it's true. I believe that with all of my heart. One of the things that I often experience with people when they say, you know, I don't believe the Bible or I don't believe it's relevant, is I say, have you read it? Now, some of them are right off the bat are like, no. But every once in a while, I'll get somebody who will go, yeah. And I go, okay, good, good, good. Let's talk about what you've read. And then they'll get a little more honest and they'll go, well, I haven't read it very much. Okay, all right. Well, then let's read it together. Because I want, if you don't believe it, I want to find out what you don't believe in. Okay, and then we can talk about that. The gospel is so powerful. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, and you're probably going to laugh. But so when I was 15 years old, I went to Redding, California with about 100 students or so. And the idea, Redding, California is this little town in Northern California. It's this beautiful little town. This is in 1970, a long time ago. So what I'm going to tell you, you would think it probably never worked today, but it did then. So we went to this town, and for a day or two, we were trained on how to share our faith with people. And then they just turned us loose on the neighborhoods. And we were like knocking on the doors. You'd probably never do that today, but you were knocking on the doors. And in my case, I'd say, hi, my name is Steve Bombacci. And I can't remember all the introductory statements we made, but it was basically, we'd like to talk to you about faith and about Jesus. Now, most of the time, people will go, oh, no, not interested, or I am a person of faith, or I'd slam the door in your face, have some interesting experiences. And so I came up to one door, and this woman answered the door, and I began to talk to her. And so I got a little further down the line with her, and I'm like, oh, wow, she seems like she's kind of open to what I'm saying. And so I get through my entire presentation that I had been trained in. And, you know, I talked about the four spiritual laws and a few other things, and I get to the end of it, and I'm like, this is... like, wow. And again, I'm 15 years old. I'm still trying to figure this stuff out myself. And so I said, well, and this is the way we were trained, would you like to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And she goes, yes, I would. I practically fainted. I'm like, wow, I can't believe this is happening. And so then the next thing was, I said, well, would you like to pray with me to invite Jesus into your heart? She says, yes, I would. I said, okay. And so I prayed this prayer. And then when I was finished, I looked and I could tell she was emotionally moved. I could tell that something profound had happened in her life. And when I walked away from that experience, I thought, you know, I had very little to do with that. Really, I'm a 15-year-old guy. I'm probably not articulating really well everything that I'm trying to say. But the power of the gospel is what did it. And so this is what you and I need to know. It's not about you. It's not about me. Yet we need to develop, like I said, ourselves and be respectful. Share the story, but the gospel will carry itself. It is so powerful, and we need to know that so that we'll be confident when we actually are able to share the gospel with other people. Several years ago, I went to, and it was one of the highlights of my life, I had the opportunity to go to Papua New Guinea, and there's a Bible translator that we support actually from our church. Pacific Life Church supports Adam Boyd and his family over there. And he's been there for several years. He's been translating the Bible into the Inga tribe language, which is a very, very difficult language to translate. He had to go there first. He had to learn the language. And so I had an opportunity to watch the translation team, how they worked together. And then there was this one day when they had this huge celebration, and hundreds of people came together. The Inga tribe was there. And by the way, very, very primitive tribe. There were lots of colors, but, you know, machetes and not a lot of clothes. And, you know, it was just like very tribal. And so I'm there, and there's a presentation, and they're presenting the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that had now been translated into the Inga language. And there's this beautiful, beautiful ceremony that's going on. And at one point, I got to walk out. I think it was, I can't remember which gospel I was carrying. And I presented it to them, and we all did a dance together, which is crazy because I'm not a very good dancer. But anyway, we're all doing this dance thing. And the people are so excited. But the highlight of that experience was this. A lot of the people, they can't read. And so they did the translation vocally over a loudspeaker. And when I still remember this, it was like electricity went through hundreds and hundreds of people who for the very first time were hearing the gospel, I believe it was the gospel of Mark, translated into their language. And as they began to hear the words about Jesus, as they began to hear the gospel in their own language, I looked around and I saw visible signs of emotion, tears, excitement, and I thought, that is the power of the gospel right there. It doesn't matter what tribe, what language, it doesn't matter what country is the most powerful thing out there today. And you and I, we need to have confidence in that. That you know, in a culture that's not very open to the gospel anymore, that the gospel still has the ability to reach people and get into their hearts and change their lives. So here's what I want you to do. I'd like to, if you would you just close your eyes for a moment, wherever you are, and I want you to think about people in your life. And then I want you to ask yourself, who in my life needs to hear the gospel? Who do I need to share it with? I know a lot of times we think, well, it's somebody that's really down and out and they're all messy, and so they could use it. But then we neglect the other person who we think, well, they've got it all together. They may not have a relationship with God, but, you know, they're living the dream and everything's really good for them. No. Anybody who doesn't know God, doesn't know Jesus, they need to know him for their eternity. And so I want you to think, who would that person be in your life? Let God speak to you right now about that. And then let me pray for you. Lord, right now, I believe that the people are listening to this or watching this, and right now you're speaking to them about people that are in their life that they have the opportunity to share the gospel with. And I just ask that you would give them the courage to do it. Give them the words. Help them to know that you will help them if they'll share their God story or just begin to open up to people about Jesus, you, and about faith and about the Bible. So I pray for this, and I pray that as a result of people hearing this message today, I pray that lives are going to be changed. Hearts will be open as people get courageous and share the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.